Amen. God loves you this morning. Anybody on board with that? God loves you. He sent his son for you. He died for you. He wants you to have a great day. As a matter of fact, he wants you to have a great week. On top of that, he wants you to have a great life. I'm in the last part of our series called Snapchat with Jesus. I know it's kind of a stretch. I hope I didn't insult anybody by saying, well, you know, what would it have been like if they had a smartphone? What would it have been like if they would have had these phones like we have today walking around with Jesus? You know, last week I talked about miracles. Maybe we would have got a picture like this one from them this last week. Maybe we would have had something like this. You know, Jesus had walked on the water and maybe fill a picture like this. Or kind of on today's message, maybe we got something like this from James the Less, one of the other disciples. And he would just, you know, as we get ready for today's message, maybe he'd send out a text like, hey, Sunday, guess what we're going to talk about? Serve him. Or maybe one like this one we might receive. And kind of like, where are we at with this? And, you know, as Jesus was washing their feet. And I want to talk about greatness this morning. What is it that makes someone great? Now, you ask the kids in the church, and I'm going to encourage you, you can ask the kids in the church, especially Donna. I am known as Gary the Great. All right? They call me Gary the Grape. All right? They give me a bad time, you know, and they harass me with that. And so we have a lot of fun with that. But what is it that makes somebody great? You know, I know many of you are Giants fans. I don't know where it's at right now. I guess they've been kind of having kind of a challenging time right now. Anybody remember Willie Mays? The great Willie Mays? Anybody? Come on. Some of you guys know baseball. Anybody? Willie Mays, you know? The great baseball player, you know, played for the Giants when they were the New York Giants, before they even came to California. How about a guy named Pete Rose? Anybody know a guy named Pete Rose? Anybody familiar with a guy named Pete Rose? You know, batting champion, the most hits, the most at-bats, the most strikeouts. I mean, you know, he has all these records, but he's not in the Hall of Fame, and I'll kind of talk about that a little later, you know. You know, what about these tennis players? Anybody know a girl named Serena Williams? Anybody? Anybody follow too? You know, and her sisters, both of them have been number one. I think Serena's number one right now. Anybody that follows tennis, you know. We look at greatness, you know. What about greatness in the business world? I think it's somebody like Steve Jobs. Anybody familiar with a guy named Steve Jobs? Anybody got an eye product on him right now? You know, had the company, built the company, built Apple up, lost the company. You know, they stole the company away from him. If you're not familiar what happened, they took the company away from him. The company went down to the shares were worth like a dollar. They're only worth like 800 now. You know, I mean, the company's just turned around the most billion-dollar company in America right now. You know. How about a guy named Bob Iger? Come on, somebody's got to know who Bob Iger is. Nobody knows who Bob Iger is? He's the CEO of Disney. All right, come on now. I mean, he took over after Eisner, bought Pixar, bought Marvel, bought Star Wars. I mean, you know, we think of greatness. But what about this person? Mother Teresa. Anybody? Anybody know who she is? Mother Teresa. Nobel Peace Prize, I think it was 1979. Order of the Religious Sisters, working with AIDS and HIV, tuberculosis. She worked with all these people. And so if I was to ask you, out of all these people I mentioned, and maybe somebody else think of, who would be the greatest person you would pick? Who would be one that you would say, this person is really, really great? Would it be somebody like Willie Mays? Serena Williams? Would it be somebody like Steve Jobs or Bob Iger? Or would it be somebody like Mother Teresa? I ask you to pick somebody and say, this person to me stands out as a person that I would hold up as great. For society to say, this is a great person. If you're like me, I would pick Mother Teresa. Anybody on board? You know? I would pick her as that example of greatness. And if you pick her, I'm going to tell you, you're in good company because you'd be picking with Jesus, okay? Because that would be Jesus' pick. You got your little outline out of what Jesus describes as greatness. What does it take to be great? Just to kind of set this in context, Jesus has two disciples, James and John. He has 12 that many of you are familiar with. This is referring to two of them, two brothers named James and John. They come and sit next to Jesus, although one of the Gospels has it, his mother did this. but maybe both of them did it. But they're sitting next to Jesus, and they say, okay, Jesus, we've been following you now. We're on board with this mission. We're on board with this ministry. Now, we want to be number two and number three. You're number one. We have no problem, Jesus, you being number one. But we want to be number two and three. This is what James and John did. They come and they sit and they say, Jesus, let me sit on the right hand and let my brother sit on the left. I wonder if those two were going to fight. Who's what? I guarantee you, if I would have been there, I would have been fighting for that. I'm the oldest. I get to be number two. My little brothers can be three and four. I don't care. But I'm the oldest. I'm number two. But listen to what Jesus says as he had this conversation. But it should not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What I want to propose to you today, and I want you to think about this morning, is if you want to measure greatness, you measure it by your service. You measure it by how you give your life away, by how you share and how you serve and how you minister beyond yourself. We have families. How do you serve your mother, your father? Mother's Day is coming around. How do we serve our grandchildren? How do we serve that boss at work? How do we serve even those who serve us? How do we serve? What does it take and how does it play out? Because that's quite a challenge for our world. See, our world today, greatness is measured by how much money you have. Anybody on board? You know, greatness is measured. Steve Jobs and the millions of dollars. You know, and he was a great man. I admire his products and use some of them. I enjoy Disney with Bob Iger and all the turnaround he made with that company. I enjoy watching sports and watching their greats play. See, our world defines greatness by, I use these three P's, power, position, and possessions. And that's how our world defines greatness. But Jesus steps into our midst and says, listen, you want to be great. You're going to be great when you give your life away, when you serve others. When you step up. That's quite a challenge for us. So what I want to do this morning, I'm going to tell you seven things of what it takes to be great, to really be a good servant. Then I'm going to give you three reasons why you should do it. So we're going to kind of rush because there's like a lot of things to cover. But I'm going to give you seven things. If you want to be great and you really want your name, you know, because, you know, one thing I always think is funny. Anybody watch the Oscars? Nobody watch the Oscars? All right, I see hands going up. I always think, for me, the Oscars are a funny thing for me. Because who picks the Oscars? They do. You know, I'm going to create an organization that praises me. Isn't that fun? I mean, you know, wouldn't we all like to have it? I'm going to create a thing in my family, and I'm going to be the one that counts. My vote's the only one that counts. And who's the greatest in my family? Me. You know, I always think the Oscars are funny to me because they're, you know, it's me picking me. That sounds good. You know, but that's our world. But what does it take to serve? What does it take to be remembered as one who gives? To be someone like Mother Teresa. Now, it's fun to watch those who achieve greatness, who's measured by their names up in lights, who's measured by all their success and accumulations. But truly, greatness in the end, they're by your service. So I got seven things real quick here that helps us understand what it means to really be a servant of God. And I want you to measure, and I want you to think about your life today. Because you're going to have an impact. You're going to make an impression. You're going to leave a mark in this world. What kind of mark is it going to be? Will it be a mark of service? Look at the first one here. I wrote it this way. Well, let me read the scripture. Oh, I got a definition. Thank you. I wanted to define slow down. I'm trying to rush. I know I got to go quick. I put service this way. Service is putting others' needs before your own. That's what service is. Like I said, it challenges our world. It's putting others' needs before your own. Laura and I got to go to Disneyland, right? Just a few weeks ago. Did you know that was our third try going to Disneyland? We had reservations. We're all set to go. And something happened Saturday, and we canceled our reservation. Because there was needs that Laura and I needed to take care of. a place I needed to be more important than being at Disneyland. Can you believe there's a place more important than being at Disney than being at Disneyland? You know, there is, okay? There really is. So it's putting others' needs before your own. How about this other part of it? How about this next part if you look at your outline? Serving is doing without caring who gets the credit. It's not a matter about how many awards you have on your wall. What was fun this week, my grandkids came down to the church in the office. And if you go into the office, my office here, I don't have any, you know, any awards, any certificates. I don't have anything. I don't have any of my diplomas on the wall. You know, yeah, I got a doctorate degree. I got a master's degree. I got awards for serving on committees in the county. I got awards for serving in the committees in our school district. I got all sorts of stuff. But you know what's on my wall? Colored pictures from my grandkids. And my grandson walks in there. He says, I'm remembering that. He's only six. Is he five? I don't know. He said, I remember coloring that. We always, you know, how many plaques do you get in? How much is your name up? And where are you at? But I want to challenge us. It's not about who gets the credit. I'm going to tell you who's going to get the credit as we go through these. Look at the scripture. Again, I think the disciples, we make the disciples holy men. Anybody? These super spiritual guys, right? It's Matthew and it's Peter and it's James and John. They're the spiritual elite. They're the kings of our faith. And we make these guys like they're these special spiritual people. But you know what? They're just like us. Because they're walking down the road and they're arguing over not who's first, because they're going to give that to Jesus. They're arguing who's second and third. And they're walking down the road arguing, and they know they're wrong, but they're still doing it. Look at what the conversation is when they come to the house. And when they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, this is he being Jesus, what were you guys discussing on the way? But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. They still haven't got it. Anybody here got a hard E? You know, kind of a hard way to learn. Anybody got to go through the school of hard knocks? Anybody? You know, we have these experiences. These guys, you know, yeah, they're spiritual leaders, but they're flawed just like all of us. So what does it take to be great? Real quick, I put it this way. A real servant is totally dedicated to God's service. You're sold out. You're totally 100% in. I am in. My personality drives me. I can't leave the done. I can't leave things. There was a computer game called Myst. Anybody ever play the computer game called Myst? Oh, man, come on. I played this computer. I had to solve it. I stayed up for like 3 days in a row, maybe 1 hour of sleep every night, because I got to solve this. I cannot put it. I do not load computer games on my computer, because if I do, I've got to win. And I'm going to play it and play it and play it. Well, I want to tell you what. I'm that way when it comes to God. I'm in. I'm sold out. I'm in. This is it. This is what's going on. This is where I'm going. I want to challenge you. That's what a servant is. They're in. You know, you can't be in and you can't be out. You got to be one or the other. You got to be totally committed, totally sold out. Look at what it says here in Psalms 119. With all my heart, I try to serve you. With all my heart, I try to. I'm in, God. You can count on me. You can depend on me. I'm the duration. I'm going to finish this. I'm there. Look again as he talks here in the Psalms. Teach me, Lord, what you want me to do, and I will obey you faithfully. Teach me to serve you with complete devotion. Why don't you circle that word complete? I'm in completely, totally. As a matter of fact, I think this is a good prayer. You know, when you're going to begin an adventure in your life, when you're going to begin a new challenge in your life, when you got something before you that you need to get to be a part of, I think this is a good prayer. Lord, teach me what you want me to do. You know, Lord, I'm starting this. I'm beginning this. Teach me what you want me to do. I'm going to serve you. I'm all in. You can count on me. And I want to tell you, you're in. You're all in. Totally in. Submitted. Let me paint a picture. You're a servant. You're a slave. Somebody just bought you. Can you imagine? Here's what I want you to do. You walk in You're sitting there, your master stands there, and you look at him and say, you know, I know you bought me. I know you own me. Now, I'm going to serve you Sunday between 8 and 12. Then the rest of the week, I'm on my own, okay? Now, how do you think that's going to fly? How do you think that master is going to think when you say something like that? It don't work. See, when you accept Christ, when I was 17, I crossed that line and you made that commitment, then 24/7. Not just at church. You know, people are watching me wherever I go. Am I right? Because I'm a preacher, right? Don't people look for preachers? I don't tell them I'm a preacher. You know, I don't put bumper stickers on my car that says I'm a Christian. I don't have license plate on my car that says I'm a Christian. I don't want anybody to know. Because sometimes it's hard to be a Christian. But I'm in. I want to make sure you get a picture. One of my frustrations as a pastor is everybody thinks that, well, this is my religious life, and this is my secular life, or this is my work life, and this is my home life. You know what? It all blends together. You know, I got the privilege that my job is pastor. But I think some of you have jobs wherever you're at, you know, you're serving God. I think that's hard for people to comprehend. I still remember one of our principals in our school. My daughter had a, and she was having a battle. And here's what the principal told her. And I love this because she understood this concept that she's on mission for God wherever she's at. She's sitting in the office. My daughter comes in. My daughter says, I've got a da-da-da-da-da-da and laid out a problem. Here's what the principal said. You go home and you pray about it this weekend. And you come in Monday and you tell me what you think you ought to do. I will move you if that's what you want. My daughter came home, told us what the principal said. I said, amen. My daughter prayed about it, went in, I want to move. So she moved her to a different classroom. But I like that. That principal understood she's on mission. And she knew she had a child that could understand what she was saying. Wherever you, whatever you're doing, wherever you're working, wherever you're at, you're on mission for God. 24/7. Your services to that boss, to that patron, to those students. We need to see them. And so I'm totally dedicated. I'm totally sold out. Look at what it says here. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything. Everything you do is for God. That boss, when you serve him, you're not serving him. You're serving God. That patron, that student, that person you're waiting on, that cashier, whoever it is, you're serving God. See, I'm totally dedicated. That's what a servant is. A real servant, look at the next one, is self-forgetful. Now, I'm getting older, and I'm going to tell you, it's a lot easier to get forgetful. All right? But I'm talking about being self-forgetful. I'm talking about it's not about me. Life is not about me. Anybody have kids that life centers around them all the time? Anybody got kids, you know, their life is always right around them? They got to grow up, right? Some of us need to grow up as adults because life's not all about us. It's all about what I want to do. I want to go here. I want this. I want that. You know? That's not what life's about. Life's about putting ourselves aside and putting others in front of us. Look at what God's word says here in Philippians. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't look out only for your own interests, that take an interest in others too. When you look at others, what do you see? How do you see them? Get your eyes off yourself. Let me give you a little hint. You know, anybody here got some trouble going on in your life right now? You might not want to raise your hand, but you know, you got some struggles? Let me give you a little hint. You ever notice when you start talking about your troubles, you start talking to somebody else, they want to compare troubles? You know, well, I'm going through, well, what about, I'm going through, you know, anybody getting in those kind of battles? Yeah. Let me give you a little hint. When you take your own troubles, it's easy to see somebody else's, isn't it? Yeah. It's easy to think, you know, you think you got it bad, and then I'm serious, sometimes I think, man, it's horrible. Then I hear somebody else, and it's like, man, I'm thankful I'm not them. Anybody? Yeah. See, we got to get our eyes off ourselves. We can recognize somebody else's needs. We can, you know, it's easy. You know, it's like, I didn't realize that. I didn't think about that. I thought I... And so we got to become self-forgetful. ourselves aside. We got to start looking at others. Look again at what it says here. Now, this is, I wonder if Peter, as he wrote this, was writing about that one Snapchat I showed a little while ago. And all of you must put on an apron of humility to serve one another. I was wondering if Peter, as he wrote this book, this letter here in Peter, that he was thinking about when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. That as he was writing this, he was reflecting back over that those years past, that when they came to that house and nobody wanted to wash the feet. All right. Anybody ever go camping? Run around in shoes? Even when you got shoes on, does the dirt get inside the shoes? You want to wash your feet before you get in your sleeping bag, right? Come on. Yeah. Well, back then, somebody, you know, they always had a servant to wash the feet. Well, nobody washed the feet. Well, Peter's too good. He's number two, right? Yeah. And James is number three, and you just go right on down the line, and nobody wanted to wash feet. What did Jesus do? Anybody familiar with the story? Jesus washed their feet. I like that. Yeah, maybe this is going through Peter's mind. It's like, and we must put on an apron and wash the feet. See, stop focusing on ourselves. Poor me. Anybody get the poor me attitude sometimes? You know, if you only knew what's going on. Sometimes we got to get our eyes off of ourselves so we can see what others are going through. And I'm going to tell you, I'll give you a little hint right here. You want the greatest way out of your trouble is to serve somebody else who's in trouble. Do you get me? That's the greatest help. It turns your attention. Start helping someone else and see what God can do and see how God works. And so I want to challenge you. See, a real servant is self-forgetful. How about this next one? A real servant sees service as an opportunity, not as an obligation. Is it an opportunity or an obligation? We had Love Salida yesterday. All right? Opportunity. Some were on the freeway. I didn't know they already went on to the freeway. I was waiting at the park for people. I was there with several others. Took our food over there that we'd been collecting from the bank and taking part in that. I had the opportunity to go rake an alley and pick up all the garbage and the weeds in an alley. I had an opportunity. It wasn't a fun opportunity. Yeah. You know what? What I enjoy doing on Love Salida? I wish we did it more. Going to the library and putting books in order. Nice air-conditioned building. Yeah. It was fun. You know, it was fun putting those books in order until they put me in the bridal section. Girls, when you put the book, take the book, you never put it back in the right place. You know, they're looking for their books, and they were all over the place. Yeah. But it's an opportunity. I had a great opportunity because you know what? I went with Lorenzo. Some of you might know Lorenzo. I went with Lorenzo. We went over to the alley over here, and we started working on an alley over here. And he had this big old machine. He was weed eating this big old machine. I'm raking, and pretty soon, three people down the street come walking up, a father, a wife, and a son. They've been in our church before, at least the father and son have, and got a chance to talk and witness and share and journey together with them. I had a great opportunity yesterday. Now, would it be my pick? High on my list, Saturday. I'm tired. It's been a long week. I can't wait to go pull weeds in an alley. Nah, but it was a great opportunity. Do we see those opportunities to serve as an I have to. Yeah. It's my turn. It's my month in the nursery. Yeah. Oh, I got children's church this month. Anybody? I mean, I got to go Wednesday to Awana. Thursday. Thank you. See? The same guy that prints your bulletin upside down. You know, I'm sure glad God doesn't look for perfection. He'd be in a long search for me. You know? Service. It was fun this week. I'm sitting at my house. Just so you know, I've shared with you, I mow my neighbor's yard. She was a single mother raising two children by herself. I would mow her yard. Now, every once in a while, they would mow mine. This Wednesday, Wednesday, I was sitting there during Bible study, and my neighbor on the other side, who I've been talking with and visiting with, and guess who mowed my yard? My neighbor on the other side mowed my yard. Yeah. It's nice. But I had mowed theirs. I had mowed his. What's nice is he got a little 5-foot strip there. I mow every time I mow mine. I just mow his little 5-foot. You know how that strip on the other side of the driveway is? I mow his. I've seen people mow right down the line. I don't want to get an inch too close. Yeah. Just mow their yard. Yeah. I just want to challenge, you know, it's, do we serve? Do we say to serve the Lord with gladness? Come into his presence with singing. I'll take the gladness. I'm going to skip the singing. Is that okay? Those who know my singing, right? Matter of fact, during Awana Thursday night, the kids told me, don't sing. They did. They wouldn't let me sing Thursday night during Awana. We need to see that. We got to serve and see these opportunities. Look again. I am deeply grateful to Jesus our Lord for trusting me enough to appoint me to his ministry in spite of the fact that I previously blasphemed his name. See, I like what Paul's saying here. You know, I get to serve. It's an opportunity that God has given me. I think about that. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I have a history. I have some regrets. I have some faults. I have some failures. But isn't it wonderful to know that God still uses you? That it doesn't matter what's happened in the past. That when you turn to God, that he's forgiven you and that he wants to use you. Isn't it exciting to see that? To be a part of that? That God takes imperfect people, great things with them. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking for those who are saying yes. That's what he's looking for. And we need to see that those are opportunities to be a part. I feel this. I have the greatest opportunity to be a part of what God is doing. You need to know. I can't imagine. I'm standing here before you, and I can't imagine why you guys come. I know it's not because of me. I can't imagine God using me as a pastor. That's hard for me to understand. I'm serious. I can't comprehend that. But I thank you for the privilege of being a part. I take people around. Our servicemen came to service our copy machine, our resale machine, and first time he'd been in our building, and I took him on a tour. And as I show him the building, I talk to him, this building is a gift from God. Now, we all worked at it, right? We all gave to make this alpha, right? Anybody on board with all that? But you know what? God made it all possible. God's the one who put it here. I just got the privilege of being a part of it. See, it's an opportunity that we have. How about this next one? A real servant gives the credit to God. Who gets the credit? You know, we all have talent and abilities. We talk in our church, I talk about a thing called shape. Spiritual gifts, heart, ability, personality, and experience. We all have that. We're all different. And God shaped us. But who shaped us? God did. I don't have these abilities if it wasn't for God. I was sharing with somebody this week, you know, I have a doctorate. I can talk with some big words. But that ain't me. You like the ain't? That ain't me. I'm Gary. I'm just a country at heart with oaky parents who love just being me. You know, I don't have to put a show on. I don't have to, you know, I go to the school board and, you know, I've sat there with people from Washington, D.C. and representatives, and I always feel awkward. I don't know. I sit at these dinner tables, and they have several forks. What fork do you use? I just need one. Why do I get all these forks, you know? And then if they've got someone here, then they got one up at the top sometimes. You know? God shaped us all. I just want to be me. Isn't it fun? That all God asks you to do is be you? You don't have to put a show on. You don't have to be anybody else but you. It's fun. And God shaped us that way. It's God who did it. I give God it. So all those mistakes in the bulletin, it's God's fault. See, I give him the credit for the bad stuff, and I'll take the credit for the good stuff. Anybody on board with that one? You know, that God made us who we are. And we need to see that. Listen to that as Peter describes his picture. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Whatever gift you receive to serve others, not for your glory, not for you, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Who's getting the glory? God. One of my prayers when I pray with the worship team on Sunday morning is, I'm sure I want you, God, and us, and want to join us on this journey. Ask the worship team. That's my prayer. I want you to see the worship. I want you to see us serving and enjoying the presence of God, that you guys say, I want to be a part of that. Because it's God's glory. Because it's not about us. Let's go on and see what we have here. A real servant is more concerned with ministry to others than with making money. I had to put this one in here. More concerned about ministry to others than making money. Sometimes when I ask people, well, I need some help, I need some service, I'm just busy. Now, we do have to make a living, right? There's nothing wrong with money. I want all I can get. Anybody else? You know? The Bible says money's not the problem. The Bible says the love of money is the problem. Now, we all need it. And I'll give you a little hint. No matter how much you have, I've read these studies. No matter how much you have, you always get more. Not just you, me too, okay? No matter how much, it's really interesting. The studies have said, if I just had 10% more, if I just had 10%, whether you make less than $10,000 or you make more than $100,000, it's just, I just need a little bit more. But you can't get so sidetracked with money that you miss the opportunities to serve. I've never had that battle in this church. It's never been part of me. I'm just gonna, when I was here, you know, my last church, I had 3 jobs. Never thought about it, never questioned it. Laura worked at the bank, I worked at a funeral home, a school district, and I pastored the church. It was fun. Nights at the funeral, nights at the school, days at the church and the funeral. It's all right. That's just life. We can't get sidetracked. Look how Jesus said this. No servant can serve 2 masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, I want to make sure again, there's no problem with money. I want all I can get, okay? I need money. I enjoy money. You know? I appreciate having money. It makes good things happen. It makes going to Disneyland fun. You know? But that's not my priority. I'm not consumed. See, I want to challenge you. Laura and I have been remodeling our bathroom. She's posted some pictures of our bathroom. I painted these on the wall. You know, and I just bought a shower curtain rod. You know, one of these double curved rods. She wanted that. You know, that we're buying pieces at a time because I don't want credit card debt. Anybody on board with that one? You know, so it's like, okay, I got this extra money this month. We can buy this. Next month, we're going to buy the towel bars. You know, can't even find them. I bought some cheap ones. They didn't work. Don't buy the cheap stuff. But you got to have your priorities. You got to have your priorities. How about this next one? Real servant is a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. Now, if I was going to put these in an order that I wanted, you need to know I pray about the order that these go in. I would have put this one first. The hardest thing for a pastor is dissension and problems and bickering and quarreling and fighting. But a real servant is a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. Because it's easy when you work with people. Anybody have jobs where you work with people? You know, you got jobs you work with. Is it easy to get kind of pushed out of shape with people? Do people get on your nerves sometimes?
You know? Do they aggravate you? Do they tick you off? You know? See, when you're working with people, it's easy. And when you're in ministry, when you're serving others, you know, it's like you hold the door to somebody and they walk in and they don't even say thank you. It says, come back here, I'll show you. Yeah. They got to say thank you at least. Yeah. It's easy. And so one of the challenges of a servant is being a peacemaker. Because it's so easy to see the negative, isn't it? It's so easy to see the problems. It's so easy to see what's, you know what, I can see what's wrong with everybody else and I'm just one. So we need to kind of, you know, if you're going to be a real servant, you're going to be a peacemaker. You can't let people get under your skin. You can't let them aggravate you. I thought it was the funniest thing. I was mad. Just, I'll give you a hint. I was mad. Pulling up Briggsmore, getting off the freeway. Anybody? Getting off the freeway at Briggsmore. They got a sign. No panhandling. Guess what's in front of that sign? A panhandler in front of the sign. And the light's green and I want to go. You know? Now, I want to tell you, I want to serve those. But I'm not going to serve them on the streets. I'm going to serve them through the gospel mission, okay? All right? That's just, there's services out there. That's my choice. You know? Stop me getting off the freeway to give somebody money. I'm sitting to say that to you guys. You know? It aggravates. Anybody, people, you know, be troublemakers. We need to be peacemakers. Look at what it says. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome. But kind to some people, able to teach patience, enduring evil. Kind to what? Everyone. Even those you don't like. Even those that get under your skin. Even those who push your button. We need to be, that's what a servant is. I've shared one of our studies. I encourage you, our Bible studies. One of our Bible studies came up with these three B's that really, I mean, seriously, they've impacted me, and I've never forgotten them, and I'm never going to forget because it helps me. When I think about somebody and somebody's nerves or something's going on, I look at these three B's. What's their burden? What's their battle? What's their background? Don't know. What happened that morning? Did they have a tragedy? Did something horrific happen in their lives? Is there something that went through as they with their background that they just haven't made peace with yet? Is there a burden? Do you know? Maybe they got a bill that they can't pay from the hospital, and it's just killing them. And that helps me have peace with others. Because I don't know what's going on in their life. And so I challenge you, you want to serve, be a peacemaker. Don't look for everything that's wrong. You know, it's easy to find everything wrong. Just look at your bulletin, it's wrong. Turn it over. You know? I was going to make an excuse, well, I've just seen who many read it. That's still a lie. Read it. How about this next one? A real servant is faithful to ministry he's given. He's faithful. Look at what the scripture says. The one required for such servants is that they be faithful to their master. Trustworthy, persistent, persevering. That's a characteristic God wants. That's a servant. Who can God count on? I'm going to ask you, it's real simple. Can God count on you? Can he depend on you? I mean, are you in or are you faithful? I'm there. I'm going to be there. You need to understand, I'm going to be in church every day. It might not be here. When I go to Washington to see my kids, I go to church. When I went to see my kids, when I went and seen my daughter-in-law graduate basic, I went to church on Sunday. I had a great time. I'm in. But not only in church, I'm in. I'm love Salida. I'm in. It's my community. I was really pushing the work with mother that was there, the wife that was there. She liked Ripon better. I said, no way, man. Salida's better than Ripon. Come on, guys. Help me out. Yeah? I'm in. I you can count on me. So I'm going to challenge. Here's seven things. A real servant. A real servant. But why? Why should I serve? Why should I be a servant? Why should I serve? Why should I join God and make a difference. Why should I do it? Here's what I put here. Because I owe everything. I owe God everything. Everything I am is because of God. Everything. I look at my life, and I've shared with you, a kid who hated school, who despised school, whose dream was walking out during class, jumping on his motorcycle with his fishing pole, riding down Franklin Boulevard, going down Fruit Ridge Road, going up to the end of Simmons Street, thing up the riverbank, and going on that Sacramento River and fishing. That's what I would do. But at 17, because I had my motorcycle license when I was 15 and a half, I was, mom works, dad works, man, you got freedom. Parents, pay attention. And I would. I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want anything to do with it. But God changed all that. When he took me from that 17-year-old boy and changed my life. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. My life can take control. He changed that. I love school. I love learning. You need to know, I love the internet. I love Google. It's like, I'm trying to think of sports players. And Serena Williams, I can't remember. Serena, is that her name? Get on there, Google it, trying to figure out. Yeah, she's number one right now. Her sister, I think it's Venus, is her name. And, you know, I love researching. You need to know, I love putting this stuff together and reading and challenging my thinking. And before I was 17, I wouldn't have liked any of that. I owe everything to God. I got a beautiful wife. I'm honored. I'm blessed. She gets on my nerves sometimes, but I'm blessed. You know? She's a gift from God. I owe everything to God. I used to give my mother-in-law a bad time. I was dating Laura, and I tell my mother, I'm stuck. She goes, no, you're not stuck. Yeah, I'm not. God gave me her, and I don't have a choice. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I owe everything to God. Why do I serve him? Because I owe him everything. My house is almost paid off. I'm right at that $30,000 mark. Yeah. I'm blessed. Yeah. Look at Arch. I'm blessed. I owe everything to God. Look at my car. Thank you. I'm blessed. Why do I serve God? Because I owe him everything. I owe him everything. Look at what it says. So, brothers and sisters, since God has shown us great mercy, I beg you to offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him. He's forgiven me. He's changed my life. He's provided my wife. He's provided me with some great kids. And my grandkids are here this morning. There's no greater joy than sitting in Awana, helping my grandson memorize Bible verses. Him and a little girl on the same point. There's no greater joy than that. I'm telling you guys. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. It's no fun. You know what's fun? Is to work a VBS meeting, get it all organized, and then I don't have to do anything but walk around because I got Jacob doing the directors now. Jacob, let's go to the training in Sacramento. Jacob, guess what? You can lead the conference. I'm blessed. Anybody on board? Why do I serve God? Because I am just so blessed. Now, I want to make sure you understand this. Do I have problems? Do I have issues? Thanks, Stephen. Yeah. But you know what? The blessings far outweigh the situations, the circumstances. And see, I serve God because I owe him everything. How about this one? Because serving others is a way to serve God. I cleaned this alley over here. Rake the garbage, put it in a barrel, rake the grass in the middle, shoveled it in the back of a truck. Lorenzo's going to haul it off to the green place over here. I did all that. Behind these people's houses over here. On parks and wood in that area over there. Do they know I did it? I don't know. Do they even care? I don't know. But you know what? I did it because of God. Because I had an opportunity to serve. I did it for God, not for them. Not for them to come and pat me on the back. Hey, thank you for doing that. I did it for God. See, we do this and we serve for God. We do it because we're serving God. When I do it for them. See, Jesus one time had this conversation with his disciples, and he was describing like the day of accountability. And he went like, he's going, when you do this for me, you know, you give me a cup of water, when you fed me, when you clothed me. And somebody goes, wait a minute, Jesus, wait a minute. When did we do this for you? When did I give you a cup of water? When did I feed you? We never did that for you. Here, what he said. Whatever you do, you work heartily as to the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as a reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the next one. I'm sorry. Jesus said, whatever you have done for the humblest of my brothers, you have done for me. When you're serving others, you're really serving God. You're really serving God. And the last one, it makes life meaningful. Gives meaning, gives purpose. It makes life great for me. What the scripture says. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. As I look at life, and I look at serving God, and I kind of, it gives purpose and meaning. There's something about being a part of it, sharing the joy, sharing the sadness, walking alongside of somebody. It's something about, you know, as I thought about this, God never wasting a hurt. You know, if I'm serving others, God will never waste a hurt in my life. God will use that. Something about the joy that comes when you see somebody else's face smile. Yeah. Read a passage that says something like this, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You ever read a passage like that in the Bible? You know, it says it's more blessed to give. And you kind of wonder about that, but then you see a smile on somebody's face when you give them something that changes. Isn't that rewarding? There's something about those relationships. There's something about when you're tired and you're exhausted. There's something about encouraging. So I want to ask you, will you serve him? I don't know where you're at. I don't know what job you have. You may be a housewife. You may be a bank president. I don't know where you're at. I know where some of you are. But I'm going to ask you, wherever you're at, 24/7, 365 days a year, will you serve him? Will you be on mission for him wherever you're at? And then take a part in what he's doing here. Join what we're doing here. We're having a great time. Vacation Bible School, I can't wait. We got a block party coming up. I want to do a prayer walk. Somebody reminded me about doing prayer walk. I'm thinking about doing a prayer walk. I'm going to talk to the leaders this morning in our meeting this morning. Will you join and be a part of what God is doing? Not out of obligation, but because of what he's done for you. Will you be a part of what God is doing? Wherever you're at, in your home, will you serve your children? Children, will you serve your parents? I always told my kids when I had them growing up, you know, you need to know, some of you guys don't know, you know, years ago, they didn't have remote controls for TVs. So you had to have a child to get up and change the TV. All right? Yeah? Yeah? Because you had to get up and turn that knob, you know? Then you had UHF and VHF. Turn the other one! Yeah. Kids, are you serving your parents? Parents. Spouses, are you serving one another? How about at work? How about in the home? I always tell people, I hate yard work. And guess what I had to do yesterday? Rake. Cut grass. That was fun. I'd rather do dishes. You know? But I do it all for the glory of God. Will you serve him? I just kind of had this little Snapchat, the last Snapchat to see. Will you serve him? Wherever it's at. Whatever he's asking you to do. Doesn't matter about your past. Doesn't matter the history. Doesn't matter the regrets. Will you serve him? Will you serve him? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your love and your care. That you stepped out of heaven into our world, that we can have eternal life and live forever with you. that for now, Lord, we're passing through this world. There's trials and troubles, there's struggles and battles. But Lord, help us take our eyes off of ourselves and put our eyes just as you had your eyes on us. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe there's some battles in your life right now that's kind of got your eyes taken off others and on yourself. Maybe you need some prayer to get those eyes meeting those needs so you can get your eyes on others. Would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. I see those. Thank you. Lord, you see these hands of those who are struggling right now. And it's hard to step into serving others when we see so much in us. So I ask you to touch them in a special way, Lord, this morning. Reach down from heaven, Lord, just as you sent your Son. Reach down from heaven and touch their pain, touch their hurt, touch their struggle, touch their battle. Set them free, Lord, so that they can serve you in the joy of the Lord, that they can be a part of the great and glorious work, whether it's in the realms of a church, in their neighborhood, or just in their family, Lord, that we may be on mission and serving one another. In Jesus' name, amen.